Hey, it's Ham Nation time, and have we got a show for you. We're going to go to Romania and talk to a bunch of youth in ham radio. Then we're going to go up to the Chicagoland area, and we're going to talk to the Newsline Young Ham of the Year. Very impressive young man. Then we're going to go by the magic of video to K3LR and look at his superstation. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Amanda, who is in Colorado, and I'm in Mississippi. And I don't know where you are, but it doesn't matter because you're right here. And Ham Nation comes on right now.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by LDG Electronics. LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art automatic antenna tuners and related products for every amateur need. Visit ldgelectronics.com to learn more.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 414 for August 7th, 2019. Youth in Ham Radio. Hey, good evening, everybody. Well, it's evening if you're watching live. I don't know what time it is if you're not watching live, but we digress. Either way, it's Ham Nation, and you're here, and that's the important thing. Tonight, we've got a great show. First off, Bob and George are out doing Bob and George stuff. I don't know. It's a need-to-know thing, and apparently I don't need to know. So I do know that they're not here. However, we do have Amanda, and we have Gordon here as well. And we're going to get right into the show because we have a huge show tonight. It's all about young people. We've got young people from Romania. We've got the new Newsline Young Ham of the Year coming on live. And then we're going to go take a look at K3LR, some video that Randy shot. And we've just got Dr. T and everything else. So let's just throw it right on over to Gordon West and bring in the kids from Romania. Gordon, this is going to be exciting. I can't wait.
Well, thank you so much, Don, and we'll get our signal all the way over to Romania, the other side of the world, in just a moment. But remember, this Saturday is the Central Kentucky Ham Fest, August 10th. I think that's a Saturday. Yep, that's a Saturday. So if you're in Kentucky, go to the Ham Fest. And Bob is at the Rocky Mountain Division Convention in Ogden, Utah this weekend. So, Bob, have fun. Well, we're going to team up with Heather, W-H-G-E-M, for the 30th annual anniversary of the United Nations Summer Academy of Learning. It's a focus of radio science, amateur radio, space research, and kids, 300 to 400 kids. So maybe a slight delay in their response, but nonetheless, Heather and her team are there at about 4 in the morning to greet us. So Heather, good morning to you from all of us at Ham Nation, and go right ahead.
Good morning. Hello, Gordo and everyone at Ham Nation. This is W8GM, and we're really grateful for the opportunity to welcome you to Atlanticron 2019. We are on an island in the middle of the Danube River here in Romania. At our summer camp, we have courses that run all day, and a really big part of that is amateur radio. So I'm going to turn the time over to our young hams this morning and have them introduce themselves.
Hi, this is Yankee Oscar 8, Yankee Lima X-ray. My name is Emilia, and I'm 15 years old. I'm glad to meet you, and I'm a little bit shy, so I'm pretty nervous right now, but I'm feeling very happy to have the chance to talk with you.
Hey, this is Yankee Oscar 4, Yankee Lima November. My name is Theo, and I'm 16 years old. I'm very happy because I can talk to you and this community of hams. Gordo, this connection is very important to me. Thank you for having us.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here with you guys today.
My name is Susiana, but my friends call me all the time Susie. So my call sign is Yankee Oscar Tree, Yankee Lima Foxtrot, and I'm 14 years old. I can say about me that I'm an enthusiastic person that always tries to do new things. And for that, of course, I need a lot of energy.
Hi, Gordo. Hi, everyone. My name is Torin. I'm 17 years old, and my call sign is the Yankee Oscar 3, Sierra Oscar Romeo. I'm glad to meet you all.
Hi, Gordo. This is Luca, and my call sign is Yankee Oscar 3, Lima Bravo Charlie. I'm 19 years old, and I'm really glad to talk to you. I'll give you three words that can define perfectly me. So here we go. First of all, is loyal. Then we go for creative, and the last one is shy. So thank you.
Hello, Gordo. Hello, everyone. My name is George, call sign Yankee Oscar 2 Lima India Golf, and I'm 17 years old. I'm very happy to take part in this show and be a part of this awesome community.
Hi, Gordo. Hi, everyone there. I'm Mihai, Yankee Oscar 6 Sierra Mexico. I'm helping here with some digital things and DMR.
Hello, Gordo. Hello, everyone. I am Ovidio, Yankee Oscar 7, Mike Sierra Juliet, and I'm instructor in this fantastic group that is called DX Explorers. Here we try to explore all the sites of the ham radio to the highest standards we can achieve.
Hello, Gordo. This is Mihai, Yankee Oscar 3, Charlie Papa Romeo. I'm kind of hiding behind the camera, and I'm teaching this wonderful kid we wanted to show you. Back to you, Gordo.
All right. Well, that was a great introduction. Now, listen, all of you on Ham Nation have an opportunity up until August 10th to work them on digital mobile radio, DMR. They are on the air, talk group ID 13. India Delta 13. That's the Worldwide English Talk Group ID 13. You can talk with them direct in a few minutes as soon as we sign off on EchoLink. Their EchoLink node is node 258697. 258697. Their call sign is Yankee Oscar 3 Kilo Echo X-ray. Now, I understand, Heather, that you've been able to get onto the geostationary satellite and make contacts. Can you give us about a 30-second review of going on to the first ham radio geo in orbit? Go ahead.
Absolutely. Everyone on air. Actually, even better than that, Gordo, I'm going to let one of our young people talk to you about our connection with the satellite, and we can give a quick review of our island ham station. So I'm going to turn it over to George, who will be talking about the satellite.
Okay, everyone, so this is our setup here for the satellite. This is the receive part and the transmit part as well. We are using SDR console with the software stabilization and the Kuchne up converter for the transmit side.
Wow, Mihai, well, that's...
take you now that's... to...
That's quite a station. Now, can you tell us your uplink and downlink? I think it's all microwave with dish antennas. Is that right? Over.
Yeah, that's right. Our downlink is coming from the satellite at 10 gigahertz. And that is being down converted with an LNB to around 700 megahertz, which is being processed by an SDR into SDR console, and our uplink is in 144 megahertz run through an Kuchne up converter up to 2.4 gigahertz through a California amplifier antenna. Now I'll give you Mihai to show you the antenna setup outside.
Roger, on that. And as you're getting set up to show us the antenna, we want to also mention that Heather's team has been competing in daily amateur radio direction finding. Plus, just like at Quartz Fest, they have been building their own transmitters. Well, let's take a look and see what it's like halfway around the world where they can work a geostationary satellite. So how about describing what we're looking at? Go ahead.
Roger, this is Mihai, Yankee Oscar 3, Charlie Papa Romeo. This is the uplink antenna, a California amplifier, 28 dBi gain. Then we have here two dishes because we're experimenting. One with only 40 centimeters diameter and the big one with 80 centimeters diameters. We've set up both dishes because we wanted to show the kids and to learn about the gain and about what they gain with a bigger dish compared with a smaller portable one. Back to you, Gordo.
Wow. Well, that is just terrific. And I know many of us here in the United States are looking at that because that'll probably be the same type of uplink and downlink on microwaves that we'll be using here. Well, let me turn it back to Heather. And Heather, we have only a minute or so, but how about telling us some more of the excitement that the kids are doing halfway around the world? And as I see on my notes here, you're located at the Black Sea in Romania with hundreds of kids. And again, they're going to be on the air. And we hope all of you will go to Node on Echolink 258697 and give a call to Yankee Oscar 3 Kilo Echo X-ray. Go ahead, Heather. I'll let you do the final and then let the kids all at once say goodbye. Go ahead, Heather.
Okay, so Gordo, we want to show you one of the biggest things we've been doing here is our fox hunting competitions that we've been having daily here on the island. The youth here have been learning absolutely so much. I'm going to turn the time over to them as we pan over some of the foxes that we have been constructing here. And then we will be able to say goodbye. And so here we are. We have our youth amateur radio operator here, Serene, who's going to be talking about the fox hunting and what we've been learning and exploring.
Here we have one of the foxes. We've been assembled it in one of the classes with everyday classes with Heather. Here we can have a close look up. This was made by the youth from the States, from the Arizona Radio Club, and we made it. I made my first soldering this in these classes, and I'm very proud of me because of that.
Wow! Well, that is
over some of the foxes. Hope you can see.
Go ahead.
We hope you can see some of the foxes that we've.
Terrific. Well, we're looking at them. They're a little hard to see, but nonetheless, these are little fox hunt transmitters that these kids have built on circuit boards from scratch that you're looking at. And, oh, that's a great picture we're seeing of those little transmitters. So, Heather, I'll let you go ahead and tie the ribbons from the Black Sea halfway around the world. Tell us how many kids total will go through the United Nations Summer Academy of Learning with focus on radio science. And Heather, all of us here in the USA say hi to you in Romania. Heather, back to you for your final.
This is WHGM. We are really excited to be part of the show tonight. Thank you so much to everyone there. We have been learning so much and exploring. so much in amateur radio, and we're very excited to have these young people, the future of amateur radio, being able to have the opportunity to share and explore all the different modes that we have. We have more than 15 students here just for this class. And in overall at the Atlantichron Academy, we have over 300 students here this year. So we want to say thank you very much for having us, all of us, to all of you. We want to say thank you so much and have a wonderful evening.
Well, thank you so much, Heather, and you too have a wonderful day. Your day is just beginning. Well, Victor, thanks so much for pulling off that Skype contact all the way there. And you know, Dave and Heather were just married, and Dave and Heather have been working with the United Nations on this for years. And for those of you that may need more information, if you send me an email, WB6NOA@ARRL.net. I'll make sure that it goes to Dave and Heather when Heather finally comes back. So Heather and all your team, very 73. And wow, do we need more Heathers like this throughout the world, and Dave, to keep ham radio growing. So here it is, the Ham Nation saying, everybody on Ham Nation, 73. All right. Oh, that is terrific. Well, thanks so much, Heather. All right, Victor, if we could go local, please. A lot of folks asked last week about how do we know what's a good spot or a not so good spot for microwave, and the big contest is coming up in 2 weeks. Members of the San Bernardino Microwave Society last week on the Amateur Television Network were provided by these slides that they were able to achieve from commercial sources. And this is the pattern of 10,000 megahertz overlooking an area featuring Utah. But for my maritime mobile, that site stinks. However, another site was brought up, and that other site was a great one, as you can see. These cost thousands of dollars to subscribe to the services that provide these prediction sites for different frequencies, and the San Bernardino Microwave Society has one member that's able to get us these great shots. You can look them up at www.ham-radio.com/SBMS, San Bernardino Microwave Society. And of course, the Amateur Television Network is now on YouTube as well. Well, coming direct, not YouTube, but direct from the International Space Station was the last 3 days, last weekend's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And wow, this was the first of slow scan television. I know last time I said something about ATV. No, I had it on the brain. Slow scan television. But you know, there were two people yakking on frequency on 145-800, clobbered the picture. Luckily, we finally got a word in edgewise, and they were unaware that 145.800 to 146.0 was satellite and space comms only. They were just talking simplex. Same thing for 435 to 438. Do not put your hotspots, even low power, on those frequencies. Well, there's our salute to Owen Garriott. And this was one of the slow scan images coming down. This was walking with a handheld to be able to pick up that image. A little on the blurry side, but nonetheless, it was a great shot. So again, this was what we just saw earlier. Yankee Papa 1, I Papa, India Papa. You can work them right now on node 258697. Via Echolink, and wow, what an exciting contact you'll have all the way to Romania. We tried them on HF, and HF is just not making it yet. You can also work them on the Worldwide English Talk Group ID 13 for DMR. So we hope all of you will say hi to the kids in Romania. And now let's go to that kid named Don. Hey, Don, pretty interesting. All those kids at the Black Sea, huh?
Oh, man. I've been involved with the Young Ham of the Year thing since 1995. And I'm just every time I'm around kids in ham radio, I just get excited. And to see that just, man, it makes you know that for all the, and I say this on stage every year at Huntsville, it's like, you know, a few bad apples are, you know, kind of, you know, get all of the press, but there are some really good apples out there in the youth. And let me tell you something, if these kids and all of our young hams of the year from Newsline or any indication, then the next generation is going to be in good hands, I do believe. So, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning over there in Romania, by the way. That's why it was so dark. So they got up early to be with us, and we certainly thank them. Just great stuff over there. Just very, very excited about that. Thanks, Gordon, for putting that together. Right now, let's go ahead and get a word from ICOM, and then we'll talk to, we'll get in with Newsline and see what Dr. T is up to, and then we will meet the 2019 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. But first, this from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Make the most out of contest season with one of these ICOMs today. IC7610, the SDR every ham wants. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Or get the IC7300. Changing the way entry-level HF is designed, this high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Keep your competitive edge with faster processors, higher input gain, higher display resolution, and a cleaner signal. ICOM's IC7851 is the pinnacle of HF perfection. Dual receivers, digital IF filters, memory keyer, digital voice recorder, high-resolution spectrum waterfall display, enhanced PC connectivity, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And don't forget, you can also enter ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag, like T-shirts and hats. And don't forget to check out the details on ICOM's monthly grand prize drawing. You can find that at ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. The official rules are there. Also, check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. Sign up and good luck. You could have some really cool stuff and maybe even a new piece of gear for your shack. From ICOM America. Thanks, ICOM. We appreciate you. Let's go ahead and get now into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2179, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Our top story this week is Amateur Radio Newsline's own announcement that we have a winner of the 2019 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow, thank you.
That's the reaction from Dhruv Reba, KC9 Zulu Juliet X-ray of Normal, Illinois, to his official notification he'd been chosen Newsline's Young Ham of the Year. Reba, who's 15 and going into his sophomore year at the Normal Community High School in the fall, found his way into amateur radio through his father, Harry Reba, Victor Uniform 2 Sierra Papa Zulu.
I first got interested in amateur radio when I was 9 years old. So I went to the hamvention with my dad, and I got, like, really interested, and I started studying for my technician class.
Dhruv got his technician license at 9 and followed it up by earning his general license at 10. He immersed himself in public service activities with the Central Illinois Radio Club for a couple of years and also decided to combine his new hobby with his interest in space. Dhruv has appeared at the youth forums at Dayton and at last fall's AMSAT forum from Huntsville. He's received AMSAT's presidential
Council Award and was presented a special plaque from the International Space Station crew for what they described as his, quote, exceptional outreach performed professionally by a young person of skill and poise. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, from Philadelphia.
This just scratches the surface, as Drew's nomination packet consisted of 35 pages, and the full story is 4 minutes. I urge you to check it out in this week's newscast and join us in Huntsville, Alabama on August 17th for the presentation. 100 years of ham radio? If you belong to this Ohio club, it's something to celebrate.
The Mahoning Valley Amateur Radio Association has a long and distinguished record of service. A few years after its creation, it became the first club in Ohio to become an ARRL affiliate. Its presence in the community has been a steady one for its lifetime, all 100 years of it. That's right, a century. Its members provide communication support to such events as the Special Olympics in the Mahoning County and to the Youngstown Roadrunners and the Youngstown Cityscape. They respond when needed by the National Weather Service Skywarn Program and drill to be ready for disasters, including the deadly one that struck in Trumbull County in May of 1985. During that historic tornado, they transmitted reports to the National Weather Service and afterward used radios to provide the Red Cross with help coordinating recovery efforts. So now it's time to party like a 100-year-old deserves to party. Plans are in the works for their birthday party dinner in October. The hams, of course, will be well prepared for that as well. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
During One Main Community's test of its emergency shelter system, the crisis is simulated, but the radio response will be real.
In Waldo County, Maine, officials believe that a culture of preparedness is the best defense when disaster strikes the region. To develop that culture further while bracing for the worst, the county's Emergency Management Agency will be conducting a mass care shelter exercise on the 9th and 10th of August at Mount View High School. Amateur radio will be front and center during the two-day exercise. The radio communications truck of the Waldo County Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Services will be on the air throughout the drill and will also be welcoming visitors to learn more about ham radio and the Waldo County Amateur Radio Association. The exercise will include a real disaster evacuation shelter, and some of the participants who will be role-playing as shelter residents will be members and leaders of local scout troops. Scouts will also receive guidance on earning merit badges for emergency preparedness, first aid, and, of course, radio communications. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3-TZD.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Mark Abramovich, NT3V, Jack Parker, W8ISH, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We're coming down from a solar storm that brought aurora deep into mid-latitudes, and it looks like we're beginning to see a bit more sunspot activity. What does this mean for you? Those stories and more in the news this week. This forecast, sponsored in part by Eric Johansson. Check him out at Instagram.com/scubist. Space weather this week has definitely picked up. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see the last in the set of coronal holes that's rotated in through the Earth's strike zone. It sent us some fast wind and a solar storm that brought aurora as far south as Colorado in the USA. So aurora photographers are very happy. We've cleared up that aurora drought with much needed beautiful skies. Now on top of that, you can also see there was a solar storm that lifted off in high latitudes, and it looks like we're seeing a couple sunspots developing on the Earth-facing disk, and this is good news because activity is definitely picking up. As we switch to our backside sun, you can also see another few sets of sunspots kind of sprinkled here and there. They're emerging quickly and then dying off quickly, but this is one more indication that our sun might be coming out of hibernation and is inching ever closer to starting solar cycle 25. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are coming down from that fast solar wind that hit us just a couple days ago and brought us up to storm levels and brought some gorgeous aurora pretty much all over the Western Hemisphere. But for now, things are beginning to calm down, and yet we will see another coronal hole rotating into the Earth strike zone, and it could send us some more fast wind near the latter part of this week. So at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions right now with only about a 15% chance of active conditions. conditions, but that could stretch into about a 25% chance of a minor storm near the end of the week. At mid-latitudes, we're also expecting unsettled conditions, but only about a 10 to 15% chance of active conditions. So this storm that's coming is not going to be anything like the storm levels that we saw just over this past weekend, but things could still give us another chance for aurora, maybe even a skosh of aurora down at mid-latitudes. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to big solar flares. We have a spotless sun right now, so we have no risk for radio blackouts, and that should make you GPS users quite happy. But we are beginning to see a bit more sunspot activity. Even a couple of these little buggers, even though they haven't lasted all that long, they pop up to the surface and dive back down. They've gotten a couple numbers here and there. So it, believe it or not, these little bright regions are actually beginning to boost the solar flux just a little bit. Last week we were in the mid-60s and now we're getting up to the higher end of the 60s. It's still poor as far as radio propagation is concerned on Earth's day side, but hey, we'll take any little boost we can get. The nice thing is that we actually are seeing a little bit of these Tiny Tim bright spots, as they're affectionately called in the community, even on the backside of the sun. So these kind of solar flux numbers may continue to boost easily over the next week. Now, also because we're at solar minimum, we are getting more of a cosmic ray flux impingement than we normally would. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you are in the moderate range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is beginning to calm down from that big solar storm that we had just a few days ago that brought aurora down to mid-latitudes, but the show may not be over. We have another coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth strike zone at the latter part of this week, and it could send us a burst of fast solar wind that could bring some aurora to high latitudes. So your aurora photographers, don't expect this to be as good a show as just the one we just had, but we still could see some decent views of aurora at high latitudes and maybe a chance for some aurora at mid-latitudes if you stay on your toes. Now, the real exciting bit are all the new little sunspots that we are beginning to see on the sun, on the Earth-facing disk, and also on Stereo's backside. These little Tiny Tim bright spots are actually lasting long enough to get numbered by NOAA before they dive back under the surface. So this is a really good sign that we may be seeing activity from the new cycle, and the fact that some of the magnetic polarity of these regions are also showing kind of a rogue polarity gives us a hope that this really is solar cycle 25 trying to kind of rear its head and the sun trying to wake up from hibernation. So all we can do is keep our fingers crossed and keep our eyes on the sun. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Dr. T, she is a great follow on Twitter. If you don't follow her now, you really should. I say it every week, and I'll continue to say it because the woman is just amazing. She's always posting new stuff seemingly every hour. I'm not sure she sleeps, really, which is amazing. At Tamitha Scove on Twitter. Thank you, Dr. T. We do appreciate you. All right, the 2019 Bill Pastrnak WA6ITF Memorial Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year is a young man from up in the Chicagoland area, KC9 Zulu Juliet X-Ray. Please welcome and say hello to Dhruv Rebba. How are you, Dhruv? It's nice to meet you finally.
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm great. So I could hear the excitement in your voice when Mark Abramovich, NT3V, called you. Kind of relive that for me and tell me what was going through your head when you picked up that phone and heard that you were the Young Ham of the Year this year.
Well, I was just really excited about when I found out that I was the Young Ham of the Year, and I honestly didn't know he was calling me to tell me that he was giving me the award, because he started out as an interview, and then after the interview, he said he told me that I was the Young Ham of the Year for this year.
It's a pretty amazing phone call, and the report, the full report on Amateur Radio Newsline this week is 4 minutes, so we could just take just a little bit of it for the headline news here. But your accomplishments in such a short time are absolutely amazing, and it all started with a visit to your to Hamvention with your dad, who is also a ham. And how old were you for your first visit to Hamvention that got the spark that lit the fire?
I was 9 years old.
So 6 years ago, you're 15 yeah. now. And what class license do you hold now? Are you an extra?
Now, right now I'm a general. So I went to the Dayton Hamvention. And then after that, me and my mom started studying for the ham radio license, and me and my mom got it together that summer.
That's very special. So what are your favorite things to do in amateur radio, Drew? I know that you're incredibly busy with school and everything else that goes on, but when you do have time to operate, what's your favorite things to do in amateur radio?
Well, I normally operate on phone and on HF. And I also do a lot of community service around the community as well. And I'm also involved in a lot of AMSAT stuff.
Yeah, I heard about the AMSAT. Well, tell us about the community service, because it's interesting. I've been involved with this since about 1995, and most of the winners back then were chosen because of their community service, emergency communications and things like that. And it seems like that is kind of morphed into more of the technical side. The young people who are being chosen now are being chosen more for what they're doing technically, and especially through STEM. So what are some of the things that you're into as far as public service?
So I volunteer for bike rides, marathons, and like a lot of various bike rides and marathons. So sometimes we have SAG stations, so we go around on a bicycle or a car, and we're stationed somewhere, or we just go around and see if someone needs help. And sometimes I would be net control, and I would take in calls and make sure everything is okay.
Very good. Tell us about your AMSAT stuff. What got you interested in AMSAT?
So I met Joe Spear at the Dayton Hamvention in one of the earlier years that I've been there, and I've actually went to the Dayton Hamvention every year since I got my license. So I met Joe Spear, who's the current who's now the president of AMSAT, and he told me something called about AIRS, the Amateur Radio and the International Space Station program. So that got me interested. So I talked to my local radio club, the Central Illinois Radio Club, and we coordinated a AIRS contact at my middle school in eighth grade.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Speaking of school, what are some of the things that you're into in school? Extracurricular activities or other things just besides general studies?
Some other stuff I'm involved in school when it comes to clubs are I run cross country, and I'm also part of a club called Future Business Leaders of America, and I was actually at Nationals for Future Business Leaders of America, which is also known as FBLA, and I was at Nationals in San Antonio a few weeks ago.
Perfect. Very good. Let's get Gordon West in here. Gordon, what's on your mind tonight? Gordon, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask Drew, were you impressed with the folks in Romania, the kids in Romania, being able to work a geostationary ham radio satellite? Won't that be great when we continue to support AMSAT, that we all support to see that through? Geostationary in our future, but it's not walking around with a handheld. It's setting up the dishes. Right, Drew?
Yeah, that's amazing. I thought it was really cool.
Well, that's great. Well, a very big congratulations to you, Drew, for making it all the way to the top for the kids. And you will be one great ambassador for ham radio. Don?
Absolutely. And you've been to the Huntsville Ham Fest before, I understand, right, Drew?
I haven't been to the Huntsville Ham Fest, but I've been to the AMSAT Symposium in 2018, which is in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay, very good. Well, you're gonna if you like Dayton, you're gonna love Huntsville, because Huntsville is like a smaller version of Dayton. It really is. You've got all the manufacturers and all the flea market, all there in under one roof, which is great. And since you'll be staying there in the host hotel, which is the Embassy Suites, you don't even have to go outside. You just walk right across the Sky Bridge, as I'm sure you know, because I think that's where the AMSAT Symposium was held. But we're looking forward to having you on stage with me at 2 o'clock that Saturday afternoon at the Huntsville Ham Fest. And we'll also be going out live over the internet with W5KUB. And then when we're done, we'll go over and we'll talk with Ted Randall on the WTWW shortwave. And in fact, you're on WTWW right now as they carry the audio for Ham Nation. And we certainly appreciate WTWW and everything that they do for Young Ham of the Year and for Newsline and for Ham Nation as well. So just congratulations, Drew. I'm really looking forward to meeting you and meeting your mom and dad as well. And in fact, I'm going to be a guest speaker at the Peoria Superfest. I understand that you're not far from Peoria. So, yeah, if you can come up and join us in Peoria, that would be great as well. Because I know you're not too far from Peoria.
Yeah, we're like about 45 minutes away from Peoria. So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, they've actually asked me to figure out a way to get you up there. So yeah, that's good. So yeah, that's good. We'll see you in Huntsville in August, and then just a few weeks later, we'll see you in Peoria in September. Which, by the way, it's my birthday, so we're gonna have fun on my birthday in Peoria. So Drew, we're looking forward to seeing you in Huntsville here in a couple of weeks, and thank you for joining us live tonight. And I understand that you're gonna hang around till the end of the show. So for those of you in the chat room who have any questions or comments for Drew Reba, KC9 Zulu Juliet X-ray, get those ready and send them to Amanda, and we'll have you back towards the end of the show for chat room comments. Okay, Drew?
Yep, thank you very much.
Thank you, appreciate you, and congratulations on being the 2019 Bill Pastrnak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year. And our thanks to Newsline's corporate sponsors for the Young Ham of the Year. That's CQ Communications, Yaesu USA, and Bob Heil with Heil Sound, and also Emmett with Radio Waves Antennas. We could not do any of that without them. So there we go. Let's check in with Randy. Randy has got a nice video for us when he took his little tour to K3LR. And I wanted to tell you, speaking of Randy, you know, he was with Ray and Dan at the Oshkosh Air Venture, the W9W station. Their final count was 541 contacts. So pretty good for that portable setup there. 541 contacts for Whiskey 9 Whiskey from Air Venture. So let's go ahead and check out the K3LR video from Randy.
I'm at K3LR's Super Contest Station, and I don't know where to start here. It's just so much aluminum up in the air. Multiple beams, multiple bands. The beams rotate on ring rotors on the outside of the tower. This is the 10-meter tower with multiple 10-meter beams that can be phased and grouped together in almost any combination. Gotten dark enough that the tower lights have come on. And out through the field is a group of vertical elements for phased arrays for the low bands. So here's a close-up of a ring rotator. So there's a rotator on that ring, and it rotates the antenna around the tower. So you can point them in different directions, or you can align them all for the same direction. In the base of the tower, these are all pyrod towers, I believe all solid steel legs, no hollow tubing. You see the ground system here and the size of the the coax going up. Looks like, I don't know, inch and a half, 2 inch. And about halfway up the tower is a box. I believe all the beams are wired into, which has the switching for the phasing so that these can be separated or combined. Couple of the guy anchor positions. There's nothing amateur about what's going on out here. This is the 260-foot tower. And on here are three 40-meter beams. It has a kind of a dual-driven element system, kind of a passive thing, but it flattens out the SWR to like 1.2 across the band. And further out in the field is a whole series of verticals that make up a four-square array. These are phased together so you can change directions. So out there is the 160-meter tower, and there's wires that come off there, and he can select the phase of those and basically rotate the signal. Unbelievable. Really impressive. Let's take a look inside. So there's live antennas outside and a lot of coaxes. This is one of the two areas that they're coming in. And you see that looks like at least an inch or larger. And here's another bunch of coax. So now I'm downstairs in the superstation. Tim, we're getting set up for Ham Nation. So he's checking out Skype. You can see all the operator positions around the room here. And you can see a radio and an amplifier, single band amplifier. And we saw those antennas with all the ring rotors. Well, each rotor has its own controller here. So you can turn them in the same direction or point them in different directions and split them up. And here's one of the ground points that I found here. You can see the big copper strap and the braids going to the various pieces of equipment. Everything's tied together. So there's no towers, no laptops. Everything is being run from these Intel Nook computers. And just put them right on the back of the monitors. And there's not a switching power supply or wall wart anywhere to be found. So everything is being run off of linear power supplies so that there's no noise. And so here's one of the antenna switches. Right now you can see the antennas at for 20 meters at 230, 170, 110, and 50 feet are all on. We can pick, you know, any one separately. We can run with the top three, the bottom three, the top two. This really makes a difference because this changes the angle that your signal is launched from. And sometimes the highest antenna is not the best one. So the operator here can take and switch. He also has a watt meter up here with LEDs, so he can just glance up and see what's running. And the walls are just filled with awards from all the various contests. Of course, the big geochron clock map display shows you where the sun is. Those are very neat. Tim even has one of the original geochrons. It's all mechanical. And there's films that move and gears and belts and all sorts of things in there to make that work. But now, software, and it's all up on a big 80-inch display. The stations have single-band amplifiers, so that really simplifies the design. There's no band switching, which also makes them more reliable. They just run and run and run. They're built around an 8877 tube. And down on the floor is the 4,000-volt power supply, and here's three. Well, that's it for the tour. Just a quick one. We're about ready to go on the air with Ham Nation tonight. So I want to thank Tim for showing me the shack and showing me around and having a great time today and also yesterday at DX Engineering. 73 from K7AGE.
What a great piece of video. Thanks, Randy. I was lucky enough to visit K3LR a few years ago when I was up there. And, man, I'm looking forward for an opportunity to go back. Would love to operate that station. The geochron clock is very cool. First one I ever saw was in 1984 when I had just first moved to New Orleans. I was working at a radio station, WRNO. And if you're a shortwave fan, you recognize those call letters because WRNO had a commercial shortwave. It was great. We simulcasted the FM, which was an album rock station, over to Russia. And behind the Iron Curtain, it was some of imagine there were Russian teenagers listening to American rock and roll and Levi's and Coca-Cola commercials on this radio station on the shortwave. But in the shortwave studio, they had one of those original mechanical geochron clocks, and I was fascinated watching it. Just amazing stuff. So, Tim, thanks for hosting that video for us. Really, really cool stuff. I want to talk to you about tuners. I want to talk to you about LDG tuners. This episode of Ham Nation is being brought to you by LDG Electronics. LDG Electronics provides state-of-the-art automatic antenna tuners for every amateur need, from QRP to QRO, fixed, portable, and remote. An LDG tuner will match your radio to your antenna using their lightning-fast proprietary tuning algorithms. It's a great, great bit of kit. For instance, the LDG AT1000 Pro is the flagship automatic antenna tuner. It's made for high-power hams. It'll handle 1,000-watt sideband or 500 watts FM and digital. You can tune from 160 to 6 meters continuously and match Yagis, dipoles, inverted Vs, slopers, virtually any coax-fed antenna from 6 to 1,000 ohms in impedance. Tuning time under 10 seconds from a dead stop. Memory tuning under 2/10 of a second. Features large, easy-to-read bar graph, watt meter, two selectable ranges, dual antenna switch, 2,000 memories for each position. LDG is a great company. It's a family-owned and operated company, and they are dedicated to bringing innovative quality products to the amateur market. Their focus is very simple. It is on anticipating and meeting your needs and providing you with world-class support that is only a phone call or an email away. Every LDG tuner carries a full 2-year warranty, and that warranty is fully transferable. So if you ever sell or give away your LDG tuner, the remainder of the warranty goes with it. They have free return shipping on all warranty repairs, and all LDG products, including balun and cables, are available for purchase through select resellers. So check out which automatic tuner is right for you and go to ldgelectronics.com to learn more. LDG Electronics, and we thank LDG for their support of Ham Nation. It's part of the show where we like to head over to Colorado and speak with Amanda. Amanda has been mining the chat room for questions for us, and we still have Dhruv, our young ham of the year, and Gordon is here too. So what have you got for us? What's on the agenda tonight, Amanda?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm really excited to talk to Dhruv tonight. So we'll just skip over you. By the way, Dhruv, I have some sage advice for you. If it's Don Wilbank's birthday, either bring bail money or stay away. I'm just saying.
That's not true. It's not true at all. He's 15, for crying out loud, Amanda. The boy is 15. He will be of no help to me.
I know, but I'm afraid of what help you might be to him. Let's just put it that way.
Okay,
stay away.
Well, no, I'll be good. All right.
So, Dhruv, I do have some questions for you. First of all, you know, you have so many interests. It's amazing. In ham radio, that you're Aries, you're AMSAT, you're everything. What is your absolutely favorite thing to do in amateur radio? If you had to pick one that you're going to do the rest of your life, what would it be?
My favorite would be the AMSAT stuff I do, because we're doing a lot of cool stuff, and I'm actually helping mentor new, like, after I did my AIRS program in late 2017, I actually started helping mentor other AIRS contacts as well. And also I got involved with a program called Amateur Radio Exploration on the Moon and what we're doing is we're designing a station that would essentially go on the Gateway space station on the moon, that would be orbiting the moon.
I'm awestruck at that. That's amazing. So I take it you're one of those that keeps up with all of these new cubes going up in the air all the time. I mean, it's just amazing. How many satellite contacts do you have now?
So I actually don't have a satellite station at home, a radio that's capable of doing satellites contacts, but I do contacts when I go to other places, such as other club members' homes, and yeah.
I completely understand. Yeah. It's difficult to have that set up at home. So yeah. Speaking of setups, what do you operate from your own house? What, give us your radio and your ham shack setup.
So I mainly have an ICOM 7100 and that's what I mainly use. And I also use a 7200 that I got, that my dad actually won as a prize at the Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum.
Very nice. Well, that's a decent setup for sure. So tell me, do you have like a tower outside your house? What kind of antennas do you use?
So I have a regular omnidirectional antenna.
Okay. And are you also a builder? Do you go to these maker fairs, things like that?
Sometimes. Like sometimes I might 3D print some stuff for use at home or for my robotics team. And
oh, okay. Yeah. So you have a 3D printer. That's pretty neat.
Well, no, I don't have a 3D printer, but I'm part of a robotics team, Metal Cow Robotics. Mm-hmm. And so we build 120-pound robots in about 6 weeks. And every year there's like a different like theme to the competition. And so we build robots to complete the tasks.
I've got a question about that.
I was going to say, I bet Don has some questions because his son can totally relate, right? Go ahead, right. Don.
My son Tyler was on a FIRST Robotics team for several years. So let's give a shout out to your team. What's your team name and team number in the school?
Metal Cow Robotics, 4213 from Normal, Illinois.
Very cool. Nice. Tyler's team was Team Chaos. I can't remember the number. I can't remember the number now, out of Picayune, Mississippi. So let me tell you something. That FIRST Robotics is amazing. I've gone to the New Orleans regionals when they've had that, and the Team Chaos actually made it to finals a couple of times, and it's the best thing. If you're watching this program and you have high school age kids, by all means, man, get them into robotics, even middle school, because the FIRST team here in Picayune goes to the middle schools and gets them interested in that as well. And that STEM education is just amazing. So very, very cool for being in FIRST. That's a great program.
I would have to agree. I watched the robotics. What do you call that? It was kind of a tournament, right? So, amazing stuff. I really appreciated Don sending that to all of his friends because I really enjoyed watching Tyler and all of them compete. And so, along with that, Drew, obviously you are going to be college bound. So, tell us what are you looking at accelerating in, and what kind of college are you looking to go to?
Right now I'm looking at, something to do with the space industry because I'm pretty, interested in that. I don't know what college yet. So I'm still looking.
You're young. You got a lot of years to figure that out, but it's nice to have a goal and to think about what you kind of want to do in the future, which I think is amazing because, you know, I'll tell you what, at 15, that's not where I was at in life. A couple of other things. So I heard that you had made contact with the International Space Station. So that must have been amazing. What was going through your head while you did that?
So while I was doing the ARIS contact, I was pretty nervous, and mainly because, like, we did a lot of preparation to come to that, to do the ARIS contact. We had, like, a lot of, like, backup plans in case, like, if this doesn't work, do this. And, like, all that was going through my mind. But, everything worked perfectly. And, it was really great because we got to do, because everyone got to answer questions, ask their questions, and everyone got to do it twice as well. And we didn't think we would actually go to the second round of questions, but we actually did go to the second round of questions, and everybody got through all of their questions. And we also had time to spare, because we somehow got through it like really quickly. So we also had time to spare at the end of the contact, because it's like a 10-minute time frame where, like, we're able to talk to the International Space Station.
Absolutely. So one quick question about that. Do you guys have that on YouTube or something so we could check it out if we wanted to see how that worked out?
It should be on YouTube. It should be on YouTube, and I know it's on Facebook as well.
Okay, but
Chittick's, yeah.
What kind of group should we search for?
Chittick's Junior High School is the school that I went to when I did the Ayers contact, and you can also go to my Facebook account, which is Dhruv Rebbe, or my dad's Facebook account, Hari Rebbe, and that would also have the full video of the Ayers contact.
Very good. And I just, again, Dhruv, congratulations for being nominated and then selected as Young Ham of the Year. You're going to go places in life, and not only because you have this award, but because you were ahead of that. We're really proud of you. And I know that if Bill Pasternak was here, he'd have his arm around your shoulder, first one to give you a hug and tell you how proud he was as well. Wouldn't you agree, Don?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this was Bill's passion. It was the reason that Amateur Radio Newsline existed and still is to promote youth and amateur radio and that was Bill's big passion, was youth and education and wrapping all that in with amateur radio. And so, you know, that's why we named the award in his honor when he passed away a few years ago. So, and in fact, if you do go into the space industry, you'll be following in the footsteps of one of our previous Young Hams of the Year, who was Padraig Lysandre, who is working with SpaceX now. I'm not sure if you know Padraig. You probably do. But he's a cool guy, and he's working at SpaceX. So all the best of luck.
That's nice, yeah. And,
yeah, we'll look forward to talking with you more on stage and hanging around the Huntsville Hamfest. And, of course, we'll have you on WTWW as well. And our thanks again to them and to W5KUB for bringing a global audience via the internet and shortwave radio for what we do with the Young Ham of the Year. Gordon, do you have any final comments for Dhruv tonight before we close the show up?
No, I think it's exciting that Dhruv is involved in robotics. Robotics is a huge draw for kids. Dave and Heather at Quartz Fest, which is in January this past year, had a great kids turnout doing robotics. And let me tell you, those kids were so excited, and they did a lot of programming themselves on a lot of gear, both receive and transmit. And on a little tiny handheld, Don, they were able to propel those vehicles over mounds and arounds and go-arounds. And that really turned them on to wireless. And, of course, they all wanted to get on the air with voice afterwards and talk about their great accomplishments at Quartz Fest, thanks to Dave and Heather. So, Don, it's a good thing that we have with Dhruv with our new Ham of the Year. Don?
Yeah, it really is. And the robotics is amazing. The first robotics, watching those battles, those competitions is just amazing, because you team up with another team, and it's you and another team versus two other teams. So you're working together and you're working against each other. And it's a really, really neat, thing. And those robots are radio controlled, which is, again, very cool. And they build them all from scratch and do all the electronics. And some of these teams have a machine shop in there. It's amazing the way that they put them together. So, Dhruv, we're looking forward to hanging out with you in Huntsville and again in Peoria. And again, congratulations and thanks for being on with us tonight. Let's talk about the nets. Amanda, what do we have as far as nets for tonight?
Boy, do we have some nets. We have everything going on tonight. We have 71.92 for the 40-meter net. We have 14.268 for the 20-meter net. We have D-Star, 14 Charlie, and we have the DMR on 31.012. So get in there somewhere. You have no excuse. You have every option in the world. Get on somewhere.
There you go.
That's what I got.
There you go. Well, you got it all, baby. You got it all. All right. So for everybody who's been on tonight, the crew over there in Romania, man, what a treat that was for Gordon West and for Dhruv, and also Randy with the video presentation tonight, and K3LR and everybody else over there, and Amanda, and we'll have George and Bob back next week, and then we'll see a lot of you, hopefully, in Huntsville for the Young Ham of the Year with Drew Vreba. So for all of us tonight here on Ham Nation, we thank you for being a part of what we do here and for giving us a reason to all get together and have fun on a Wednesday night. And so we'll see you all right back here next week. Hey, Drew, what's your dog's name real quick? Let's give a shout out. What's the dog's name?
That's not my dog.
That's my dog.
Was that your dog when he was talking? Was that your dog that was barking when he was talking?
I apologize. Well. Drew, his name is Radio, so I hope you forgive him. Yeah. But he was wrestling, and I he's got ears like this. He is the cutest dog in the world. He has huge radar ears, so forgive him in advance. But yeah, he just wanted to say hello.
That's hilarious. I thought that was his dog.
And he's doing it again. Sorry.
Well, clearly this show has gone to the dogs. And so with that, good night, everybody. We'll see you here back again next week. Everybody wave and good night.